today is found in the Gospel of Mark, the first chapter. We left off speaking to you last week how that Peter's wife's mother had a fever, and how that Christ was asked if he wouldn't deliver this woman from her fever. And he bent over her, took her by the hand, and raised her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she immediately ministered unto them. I spoke to you on the line of every one of us have had in our lifetime fevers. Many of our children likewise, they have had fevers. And fever is something that likewise takes sometimes the life of a person. Sometimes the fever gets so high that the doctor cannot do anything for the person. He stands helplessly by. We have today many things which are beneficial to people that have fevers. Some of them are put into oxygen tents. Some of them likewise are wrapped up in a blanket. And many things are used to administer unto people that have fevers so that the fever would be kept down. But there are many fevers that originate in and through various diseases that we contact in this life. But there are also fevers that likewise many people have which they have no trouble with, and they need no one to help them with. Such fevers, I think many of us have had in our lifetime too. There are many that have a fever to get rich. There was a time in the United States when people likewise were going to California. They had the gold fever. It was called the gold rush. All to get gold and to become rich was the object of many people. They fled to this particular state where gold was found. People today, they do almost anything to become rich, to become wealthy, to become someone in this world. They have a fever to be honored, to be glorified, and to be praised by people. We are living at this time in the springtime of the year. Many times we hear people say, oh, they had the spring fever. Some do. We notice, especially at this time of the year, many of the people are out in their gardens. Many of the people are out on their lawns. They're busy with their property. They are very concerned about having a nice lawn and having a nice garden. And they are busy almost every night, or any time they have time, they're busy with this. There are others that have a fever that likewise makes them restless, makes them excited, makes them longing for a vacation. They love to travel. Oh, they're looking forward. They can't wait until the time comes that they have a vacation. And then they go out to see the things that they plan, and they love to have these things which are nothing else but worldly things. There are many likewise that have a fever for drink. Plenty of people drink today. Many of them become drunk, men and women. We have now in this time of the United States a drug fever, I would say. So many young people likewise are addicted to drugs, and some they contact certain drugs and they can't even be cured from them. They have such a fever for these things, they have to have them. Oh, how many likewise have a fever that is, I would say, love. They love someone, and they long to have that one and to be married to that one. These fevers we all have by nature, some more, some less. But this woman, she had a fever, and those in the home, they entreated the Lord Jesus to deliver her from this fever. And believe me, if the Lord Jesus Christ does to you and me like he did to this woman spiritually, then we will be delivered from all these fevers seeking after the things and the pleasures of this life. But then if he takes us by the hand and raises us up above all these things, oh, then we have a longing and a desire for Jesus, for his blood, for his righteousness. This woman immediately, she rose up and she ministered unto them. So you, if the Lord takes you by the hand and lifts you up, you will be given that grace to serve him, to love him, to fear him all the rest of your days. You will be attached to him. What a mercy if this takes place with any one of us in this life. The Lord Jesus Christ, he was very busy this particular Sabbath day. He had been in the temple, and he had healed this man with the unclean spirit. And now he came home, and he healed Peter's wife's mother of a fever. And we find that the sun began to set. It began to get dark. This, of course, happens every day. But for the Jews, that meant the end of the Sabbath day. The Sabbath began at sunset on Saturday night, we would say, and it ended Sunday night when the sun began to set again. And now when the sun began to set, then we read that many people came to Christ, many that were diseased, many that were possessed with devils. So many came that they could not even get near him. They thronged the door where he was in the home that he was in. The streets were just loaded with people, we would say, going to who? To Jesus. But they had heard of what he had done in the temple, how he had cured this man of this unclean spirit. And there were so many people in the city that were afflicted and had various diseases. When they heard this, they all waited until the sunset, for then the Sabbath was over, and then they came to this particular home where Jesus was. They surrounded the place. So many of them were outside of the door, and one had probably that he or she was blind. Another one probably was crippled. Another one was walking with crutches. Another one was being carried by others. Afflicted, he couldn't get there. So they took him in his bed and carried him to Jesus. Then there was some that were wrestling and, struggling with some that had the devil in them. They were possessed with the devil. So the streets of Capernaum were filled with people that night. It was a wonderful night, for the people in Capernaum. And it was a wonderful thing that Christ was in this city. Oh, they came to him with all their diseases and all their afflictions. And all, he didn't ask them what church they went to. He didn't ask them what religion they had. He didn't ask them whether they were rich or poor. None of the kind. No matter who came to him, he healed them all. Oh, he's a merciful Savior. He's willing to save and willing to deliver people, poor sinners that are afflicted in and through sin. These people, they were all made well, made perfect. His cures were perfect. Oh, how wonderful it was for these people. The one that was blind, he needed no one to help him. He could see again. Do you ever stop to think what a blessing it is that we have good eyes? That we don't need glasses, that we can see? So many poor creatures have lost their sight. Some have been born blind. Oh, what a mercy to have good eyes. How little do we realize this. We take it for granted because we have it. But there are some that don't have it. How thankful we should be to God that we have yet our two eyes and that we can see good. We see many that are crippled, some in wheelchairs, some hobbling around on crutches. What maketh you and I to differ? We only have God to thank that we are not that way. It's his goodness over us. Oh, so many likewise are under the influence of the devil. Satanic spirits fill these people. They have to be put in places behind bars where no one can get to them. Their food is just actually thrown to them. So wild are they. Oh, my hearers, when you stop to consider what sin has brought into this world, and how many poor creatures are afflicted in various manners, and then we are healthy and well, we have every day reasons to be thankful and filled with gratitude to God for the goodness that he shows unto us. These people then were fortunate to have Jesus Christ in their city. And that he didn't charge anybody a penny for what he did. He just spake the word and they were healed, they were cured. How wonderful this must have been to these people. And Jesus was busy all evening, you may imagine, healing all sorts of people. And after he had done this, well, then we find that he retired. One would think that he was tired and that he would need a good night's rest. But we read that very early in the morning he arose. Before it even got light, it was still dark. And he left his house and he went to a place, a secret place, and there he kneeled down and prayed to his heavenly Father. Oh, my hero, Jesus Christ, he done this very often. He spent sometimes whole nights in prayer. He was blessed by the heavenly Father when he was baptized. He was anointed with the Spirit without measure. And the more that we have the Spirit of God, the more we will lead a praying life. Jesus led a praying life. He sought a solitary place, and there he knelt down and prayed to his heavenly Father. Oh, my hearers, what a mercy to be given to pray. It is true, probably everyone listening to me prays. And I would exhort you to continue to pray. For Christ gives us an example here, especially going out very early in the morning and seeking a solitary place. Prayer shows that we are very dependent upon God, and likewise it teaches us our helplessness to do anything towards our salvation, and that we need God to save us. If we consider what prayer is called in scriptures, then you may test yourself whether you have ever prayed or not. It is called many times supplication. It's called crying. It's called taking hold upon God. It's called looking up to God. It's called wrestling. It's likewise called asking, knocking, seeking. When we consider, when we read these things in Scripture and consider our own prayers, what must we say of them? Oh, we must condemn many times the way that we pray and how we pray. Prayer must be by the Spirit of God. It must be given to pray by faith, and it must be in and through of the exercises of the blood and righteousness of Christ shall we have access to God. The Lord Jesus Christ spent many nights in prayer. What a mercy, my hearers, that he has given us this example. Do you go alone? Do you have a solitary place where you seek God's face? Christ set this example for me and you. Do we follow this example? Can it be said of you, as I read this morning, of Paul, behold, he prayeth? Or, like we read of Cornelius in the book of Acts, he was a devout man, one that feared God with his whole house, and that gave alms and prayed to God continually. In another verse we read, and an angel appeared unto him and said unto him, Cornelius, thy prayers have been heard, and thy alms have come up for remembrance before God. Can it be said of you, O my hearers, have you any desire to get alone, seek God's face, and call upon him? How many have no desire like this? Can you start the day without God? Oh, I fear if you do, my hearers, you're in a sad condition. So many do this. Off to work without even seeking God's face, asking him for his help, for his protection, for his guidance through the day. And when you go to bed at night, Do you still kneel down? Do you still ask God to keep you through the night? Or have you forgotten those things that your father and mother taught you when you were a child? Now that you're married, maybe you're not married to somebody that's religious, that don't care about God, and you do the same as the one you're married with? Oh, may you set an example for such. May you get down on your knees, and may you pray to them and say, come, let's get down and ask God that we may need his help, his saving power, his salvation. What a mercy, my hearers, if we may be in this way helpful to others. The Lord Jesus Christ, he was in this solitary place praying, and we find that his disciples, who had been in this home where he was, when they arose, they found that he was gone. They arose early too, but he had risen much earlier than them. So this gives us a lesson too, to rise a little early every morning so that we have a little time for prayer. Oh, so many love to lay in bed to the last minute. They watch the alarm clock and then they jump out and get ready to go to work without even getting down and asking God for his help and for his protection. These disciples, they seem to have known where Christ resorted to when he went to pray. And they found him, and they spake unto him and said, all men seek thee. These men, they lived in the city of Capernaum. And Christ, he had become very popular in this city and through the wonders that he had done. And you know, if we live in a city and something's going on in the city and it's becoming well known, then we're kind of proud of the city that we dwell in. So they were. And they liked to keep Christ in this city. They wanted him to remain there because he was getting very popular, and they thought, well, that's going good. Pretty soon they'll want him to be king. Now, Christ knew their thoughts. He knew what the people were speaking about likewise. And when they said to him, all men seek thee, he said he was not only come to speak in this town, but let me go into other towns and preach the gospel, for therefore I am sent. So we find that he left Capernaum, and he went into other towns in Galilee. And he likewise preached, and he cast out devils, and he healed the sick. This is what Christ did. He was a wonderful physician for the sick as well as for those that were sin sick. It's a mercy, my hearers, to be sin sick. He has said, the whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. Can I appeal to any of you? Are you sin sick? Do you know yourself to be just a mass of sin, a mass of pollution, that there ain't any good to be found in you? Are you troubled and concerned about it? Are you seeking him to find that he would heal you, that he would cure you, that he would save you? Has his word never touched you? Has it never affected you? Where he says, come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden and burdened, and I will give thee rest. Has it never touched you that he has said, seek ye the Lord while he may yet be found? Call upon him while he is yet near? Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord our God, and he will abundantly pardon. Never touched you, never affected you. No need for him. How sad, my hearers. And he invites us, he speaks to us, he shows his willingness that he is ready to save. Oh, may you be given to take him at his word and to come to him as a poor burdened sinner seeking to be saved, because he is filled with love, pity, and compassion towards sinners. And Jesus then went throughout all the towns of Galilee, speaking and teaching and preaching the precious gospel. And we find that when he came into a certain town, there came a man full of leprosy. And he came to him, beseeching him and falling down before him, and said unto him, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. We have here then a man afflicted with a dreadful disease called leprosy. Under Israel and in the biblical times, this disease was incurable. God gave certain laws concerning this disease, which you may read in the book of Leviticus in the 14th chapter. The people that were afflicted with this disease, some of them had it chronic, some of them had it acute. The chronic, this was something that was not contagious. A person that had it chronic, he was covered over with this disease, and he was considered clean. But a person that had it acute, where the sores were red, fiery, where they were bursting out with matter, these, they were to be kept separated. They were not to mingle with other creatures, for it was very contagious. This disease was very prevalent in the East, especially in the hot countries. Therefore, God gave these laws concerning leprosy. They were to be put out of the city. They were to cry out if anybody came near to them, unclean, unclean. And if anybody heard this cry, they would immediately flee from such a person. These persons that were kept outside of the city, they had no communications with anyone. They were sometimes beggars. Sometimes they were fed and kept by their families. But they would put the food in a certain place, and then the leper would come and take the food and eat it. This is the only way that they were kept alive. This disease was a dreadful disease. Oh, it ate a person up. A person practically deteriorated. According to the way I studied this disease, it just ate at the skin, and it formed little red spots on a person. Gradually, it got between the toes, between the hands and the fingers, and finally, the person began to actually, we would say, rot away. This is the way this disease aided a person. It was considered incurable. Still, God only could cure it, and he did sometimes. And when a person was in this state that he thought he was cured, he was to come to the priest, and the priest was to examine him, and he was to decide whether he was cured or not. This disease is very prevalent in hot countries. At one time, on the continent of Europe, there were so many people afflicted with this dreadful disease, that they put them in places called lazettos. A person that had it, he was called a lazar. There were at one time, according to history, 9,000 places where these people were kept at. In the last 400 years, there has not been a case found on the continent of Europe. It's something that's rare if they find it. One of the commentaries, a man by the name of Clark, he made a statement which he thought was true. He said, under Israel of old, God forbid the Jews to eat swine flesh. You know that. He said the reason that God forbid them to do that was because if they ate swine flesh and drank spirits, in other words, liquors, these two things had a tendency to work a scurvy on a person. Throughout the British colonies, there were thousands of people that had scurvy. But it never came to the point that it was leprous, for the simple reason that it was never so hot in these places as it was in Judea. Therefore, God forbid the Jewish people to eat swine's flesh. Now, this disease was also prevalent in the United States. In the state of Texas, in the state of Louisiana, there were any number of cases of it. There were also many cases in California and sometimes in Florida. These states are very hot, as you know. Down in Terreville, Louisiana, there is an immense lazarium, they call it, where people that have leprosy in the United States are taken to. So those that are afflicted with this disease are placed in this hospital, and they are treated. Back in biblical times, there was no cure for this disease, but now they have found two drugs which cure this disease. They would isolate a person, and the isolation period was about 3 years, and they would administer these drugs unto these persons that had this terrible disease. And at the end of 3 years, the symptoms of the disease was completely gone, and they were liberated again and free to mingle with mankind. This disease, then, in the time that we are speaking about, there was no cure for it. As Bergen Hill says in his Bible story book, at that time they didn't have any doctors, he says, that could go to these poor creatures and help them. But today, he says, we have doctors that even go down into the East, down in these places where they have this disease, and they treat these people, they help them. So now we'll take it as the Bible says, it was considered an incurable disease. But this man that came to Christ, he likewise was afflicted with this terrible disease. And who knows what this man went through? As I said, he was isolated. He had no communications whatsoever with anybody. And how that he knew of Christ and had heard about him curing so many people that were afflicted with various diseases is unknown. But he must have heard about Christ and the wonders that he was doing. And he finally brought it home to himself, as you and I would do if we had something that we have been troubled with and we have been going to physicians with and could not be helped, could not be cured. We would bring it home to us if we heard of someone like this. So he started to think, well, maybe this wonderful prophet, he could cure me. Then again, maybe he shook his head and said, no, I have an incurable disease. It's impossible that I could be cured. But the thought remained with him. He couldn't get rid of his thoughts. And finally, he was wishing that Christ would come around in that area where he was so that he could go to him and speak to him and ask him if he could cure him. But no, he had no such thought that Christ would come where he was. But this, what he had heard, what was going on in his mind, worked in him such a desire, such a longing for Christ. And he had such faith given to believe that Christ was the God of heaven and earth, that he was almighty, that he was able to cure. Finally, he came to the decision that he would go. He was not permitted to mingle with people. When he came near anyone, he was to cry out, unclean, unclean. But he went. He had nothing to lose, everything to gain. So when he got near Christ, there were any number of people round about him. And how he was to get to Christ, he stood on the outside thinking, how will I now approach him? But he finally went to him through the mass of people that were in the way. And when they seen him coming, they all spread because they were afraid they're going to catch this leprosy themselves. And when he came to Christ, he fell down at his feet He had such faith to believe. He said, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Whether he would, whether it was his will to do so, was the question with this man. Would he send me away, he thought? Would he jump back and say, well, I don't want to get leprous? All my hearers, if this man had various thoughts going on in him, but the one thing that he came for was to be cured. And he lay there at the feet of Christ, and he begged him in this way, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Oh, my hearers, what a wonderful position did he come to. He came to the Lord Jesus Christ, who never turned any away yet. He looked down upon him in compassion and pity, and he went to him and he put his hand upon him. Wasn't he afraid of getting leprosy? No, my hearers, he had no sin. And he's not subject to the fruits of sin. He could not become leprous, not Jesus. He looked upon him, and in compassion he spake unto him. Five words. He said unto him, I will, be thou clean. Five words, my hearers. Do you long him to say to you? I've been longing for that for a long many years already. I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy departed from him, and he was made whole. Oh, my hearers, how wonderful this must have been for this man. He had nothing else to look forward to but death, and here he was completely cured by the word of Christ. Just those few words, and he was made whole. But this man, I can imagine he must have been filled with reverence, filled with awe, filled with love towards him who made him whole. He couldn't be otherwise. And now Christ, he spake unto this man and told him that he should say nothing of what had happened to him to any man, but that he should go to the priest and that he should give the offerings that Moses had commanded. And this is what Christ commanded him to do. He didn't obey this command. I wonder if you and I would, if we had been in. Why, he couldn't keep quiet about what had happened to him. He had to tell everybody of the wonder that Christ had done to him. And I don't think Christ took it wrong of him. But it says that this hindered Christ from coming into the city. The reason that Christ spake to him this way was that there were so many people following him that if he entered into the city with so many people at his back, well, then the authorities of the city would have to see to it that order was restored. And he didn't want any trouble with the governments of the cities. And therefore, he had to resort to desert places. And they all came to these places to him to be healed. But this man, he began to blaze it abroad. Oh, I'm sure if something like that happens to you spiritually, you would like to blaze it abroad too. Now, this disease, leprosy, as I began, was an incurable disease. You and I, we're lepers. Oh, no, you say, we're not lepers. Oh, yes, we are. In a spiritual sense, every one of us are. We are sinners, my hearers. And leprosy was considered incurable. Sin, likewise, is incurable on man's side. It is only God in Christ that can cure us of sin. Sin, as leprosy, has caused a separation. The leper, he was placed outside of the city. He couldn't mingle with anyone. So Adam, when he sinned, God banned him out of paradise because of his sin. You and I are included in this, my hearers. This disease caused the person to be unclean. So sin causes each and every one of us to be unclean. unclean thoughts, unclean desires, unclean works. Oh, what pollution and what corruption do we see from sin, which has all brought it to pass in this world and in each and every one of us. This leprosy, likewise, was something that caused the person that had it to die. So sin has brought death into this world. By one man, sin entered into this world, and by sin, death. And death hath passed upon all men, for all have sinned. We all are doomed to die, my hearers. This disease made a person polluted. It made a person unclean. So sin has made you and I unclean. There is only one that can cleanse us, and that is Christ. His blood cleanses from all sin. All this dreadful disease, leprosy, there was no one in this world that could help a creature that had it but God only. And this brings me to this, my hearers. This man, he came to the right person with his disease. How many of you feel this disease of sin? How many would raise their hands and say, that's my friend. That's the way I come to Jesus. Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Oh, what a mercy if you have this prayer going on in your soul. But this man was immediately made whole. This does not say that this man was saved, that his sins were pardoned. But this was miraculous faith that this man had that brought him to the feet of Christ. And he was given a perfect cure. All God's cures are perfect. They are without flaws. No medicine, no operation is necessary when he cures us. He but speaks the word, and we are made whole. So he did with this man. So he does today yet. And did he look down in compassion, in love, in mercy upon this man? So he does upon every one of his dear children, those whom the Father hath given unto him in eternity. He knows them. He knew what was going on in this man. He knows what's going on in your and my heart. Whether we have any desire to be cured, to be healed, to be saved from our sins. Oh, may you appeal unto him in like manner as this man did, and may you find him to speak unto you, I will be thou whole, and you will most certainly be whole. Yours will be a perfect cure. The Lord bless our feeble instruction this day to your very hearts. For his name's sake, that's all.